At Ty's mother's funeral the other day, there was a comment that the preacher was saying, said several times, and basically it is that life is not made up of one big moment or one big event. It's a bunch of small events and small moments that come together and create in us what we call our life. And that's something that I've been thinking about several times since he said it. We all realize that. You know, all these events in our lives come together to really paint the picture of life as is brought out at many funerals and things like that. But since it's been going through my mind, I wanted to talk about that a little bit. About, as we just, as Aiden just read there a second ago, and as we've sung this morning, the small things that we sometimes feel like we have to struggle with by ourselves, or the small good things that we sometimes feel like we're only dealing with ourselves, God is there in all of those things. We have lots of small moments in our lives. We have some good moments, happy moments, some sad moments, some victories and some struggles that we face. I'm mindful of what Bob Ross used to say. Life is full of happy little accidents, things that we go through. We've got to remember that God is there in all of those. And so I want us to look at that this morning. Large and small, God sees everything. He's there for us. And I want us to be reminded of that this morning. Because sometimes whenever we're going through these times, especially the difficult times and the struggles that we face in life, sometimes we do feel like, you know what, I'm just too small. My life is not significant enough for God to consider all these little things that I'm dealing with. There's no way that He could think about all those little details of my life and be concerned about that. And obviously that would be wrong. But there's a lot of songs that we have that address this very thing. Again, the song that we just sang, we're going to look at a little closer in just a minute, but songs like Jesus Knows and Cares, or Our Heavenly Father Understands. We sing those songs, and those songs were no doubt written because that person was thinking about that. Does Jesus really care? And let's look at those words just briefly. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark and with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care? Does He really care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? And we've all been in these times whenever, especially with the loss of a loved one. And you know, people say, well, try to find comfort in the Lord. And that's exactly where we need to be trying to find comfort. But if we're not sure that He's there and that He actually cares, it's not going to be much comfort to us. But as He says there in the chorus over and over, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. And these are words and thoughts that we need to take with us every day and everywhere that we go. And so that's what I want us to consider this morning. We need to remember and be reminded that not only does God see everything, but He sees everything in our lives. Regardless of what we're going through, whether it be big or small in our mind, the way we view it, whether it's good or if it's bad, God is there. He sees these things and He knows what His children are going through. And again, that's something that we need to be reminded of. So let's start off, just a very simple lesson for us to consider this morning, but let's start looking at how God sees the big. Definitely God sees the big. Our country is full of some amazingly majestic, massive things in our world even. I think about the Grand Teton and the Grand Canyon. Look at the Mount Rainier or the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, which Paul's family got to enjoy this week. Beautiful, majestic, mighty things that God sees and has created. And it is amazing and breathtaking. Paul was talking, I was texting him, he says, I feel guilty not looking at every moment because there's just so much beauty that God created for us. Massive things. But this last week, I was sitting in the boys' room and we were looking at the aquarium. And you see the angelfish, which is the biggest one in that aquarium. And you go down and you start seeing the guppies and the little thing. And then you get to the fish fry, the little babies. That when they're first born, they are tiny even compared to a grain of rice. Tiny, tiny things. And you start wondering, does God care more about these majestic mountain ranges or the tiny little baby fish fry? And obviously we know God cares about all those things. He knows about all those things. He created all of these things. Just Thursday, we were cleaning the turkey. And Maddie got the big wishbone. And she says, "Well, this is a big wishbone." And you start thinking, well, the chicken wishbone is a lot smaller than this. And she said, "Well, I wonder what the smallest bird wishbone there is." I'm like, "Well, I guess a hummingbird would have one of those too, I guess. I've never dissected a hummingbird. But can you imagine how tiny that little wishbone would be?" But God created it to be the way that it is, to have every little tiny aspect. Can you imagine the size of a heart of a hummingbird and how that works, and God created it to work that way? Much less looking at mankind and all of the things that He made our intricate bodies to do. He sees everything, the big and the small. But I think sometimes we look at God in this overseer, four-star general type person. He's not a person, but the one that looks down on the earth like a general does. And he's moving battalions around into place so that he can strategically conquer certain things. And just looking or considering God in that way. And He's definitely big, no doubt about it. But I think we sometimes forget that He's not playing a game of Risk or Battleship with us. That's not God. He can see things and He knows things and He's in control of all things. But that's not the way it is. But when you look at passages like this, and I've got everything but one passage in Psalms up here on the board for you today, because we're going to be going through these pretty quick. But look at these passages and you can see why so many people would view God as this overlooking kind of being. In Isaiah chapter 66, in verse 1, the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hands made all things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord." Passages like Psalm 33, where in verses 6 through 9 it says, "By the word of the Lord, the very word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of sea together as a heap. He lays upon the deeps and storehouses. Let all the earth fear Him," or fear the Lord. "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Or passages like John 1, verse 3, where it says, "All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Or Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Or one more in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, where it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Passages like this show how big God is. He created. He didn't even have to sit here and let me tinker with it for a while and see if I can get it to work. He said, "Let it be. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that." And it happened. That is the God that we serve. And He is big. And He sees big things. But that's not all that He sees. Because again, by knowing how big God is and knowing all the things that He's going on, that He created the universe, He sustains the universe, He rules the universe, we can start thinking, well, there's no way that He's got time or a desire to look over the petty things of my life. I've got my issues, and that's not one of His. Yeah, I got a lot of issues. He's not worried about those kinds of things, is He? And again, we are thankfully so very wrong when we start to think that any aspect of our life God doesn't care about. And so in that, we also need to remember that God sees the small as well. When you look at the Bible, again, this kind of plays back into the big part of that. God did many big, big things throughout the Bible. We start off with creation. I don't know if you can get any bigger than that. All the universe and everything that's ever been created, boom, He was there. Then we get into the flood, massive world destruction through the flood because of the sin of man. We have the Abraham and all the huge promises that were made to him. Big things were going on. Then you've got the exodus of God's people from Egypt. And then they went and conquered the whole land of Canaan. Big things. But when all that's over with, what do we find? We find a little book of Ruth. And I think that's a very interesting thing. When you look at the book of Ruth, it starts off with this little phrase, "Now it came to pass." And you look at this book of Ruth and this lady who is much like many of us, many people in this world. You have someone who lost their spouse, someone who's struggling financially, trying to keep ends meet, and trying to keep their family together as much as possible, struggling in life. Why would God go from these grand things to just a tiny story like Ruth? But when you apply this phrase, "Now it came to pass," well, it came to pass that she lost her husband. Now it came to pass that Boaz saw her in the field. And it came to pass that Boaz woke up and she was lying down at his feet. And it came to pass down the line, guess what? A man named King David, their grandson, came into the picture. And further down the line, now it came to pass that Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, came because of a lady named Ruth and the things that she did. Little things that may seem, she probably thought this was just a minuscule thing. Nobody cares about me or anything like this. But when you look at it, God was using the little moments of her life to do great, life-changing, history-changing things. We've got to understand that that's the way that it works. We may not be able to see that. But God was working through small things to great, gigantic things. I think about stories like Joseph's story. All the terrible things that happened to him. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. He gets accused falsely from Potiphar's wife, gets thrown into prison. And because he answered a little dream using God using him, he ends up saving all of God's people. Little things that God used for huge things. Does Jesus care? Does God care? Absolutely. But sometimes we need to stop and let God take control and not try to change everything in our lives. But it's interesting, there's 180 verses in the Bible that use this very phrase, "Now it came to pass." And it's not just for the huge events, it's for the little events as well. Now it came to pass. Where does that apply in your life? How is God using your life for someone else? What kind of conversations, little conversations that nobody knows about, but it's teaching His Word to someone else? And as a result, they turn back to Him. And their soul is eternally changed because of a little moment that you took to help teach them, or someone took to teach you, and now you're in that position. Little moments, but huge changes in that. We've got to make sure that we don't overlook the importance of the small things in our lives. I came across this week. I want to share it with you, a little saying. It says, "For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the war was lost." That's an interesting, very simple little thing. But what it means is, for some single, seemingly insignificant little nail, an entire war was lost. Because that horse threw that shoe, everything else went down the line. I was talking to Michelle about this a day or two ago. You think about Paul Revere. What happened if he was sick that day? What happened if his horse threw a shoe? All the events that happened because of that. That's where I see in this example of the nail and the horse and the whole thing. One little insignificant thing. But my question is, how often do we view ourselves as that same single insignificant, seemingly, nail? Our lives. Do we view ourselves that way? Nobody's going to care about me and what I'm going through right now. It's not a big deal to anybody but me. But if no one else in this world cares, our life, our soul cares to God. And that's really what I want us to take with us. And sometimes we look at these, we define ourselves by the big events that happened in our life. Well, this child was born. I was married on this time. And that's really what we define ourselves by. And we kind of just brush off all the little moments. But those little moments are what got us to the big moments. And we can't underestimate those or just consider them to be insignificant. You look at past or times when God said, "This is the great commandment, that you love me with your heart, soul, your strength, and your mind." All these things. He didn't say, I just want the big ones. He said, I want all of them. I want the small moments. I want you to love me in those. I want you to love me in the big ones. And every aspect of your life means something to me. And so you need to use those in a way that will glorify me. Show that love to me in every aspect of your life. So that shows me that he cares about the tiny details. We just read a minute ago about all these passages of the big things that God has done. But I would say even bigger than the big things are those small things. And I want us to take a minute and just look at some of these. I've kind of whittled down through and to get to these five. There's a lot of passages there that talk about all the things that God has done. But let's look at these. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let me get this out of the way here. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That means he knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows each one of us. In Hebrews chapter 4, something very similar in verse 13, says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, remember here, this is where Paul is talking to those in Athens. Notice what he says to them. He says, the Lord who made the world and all things in it. Sounds like we're talking about big picture things again. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. Again, we start off looking at the big thing that he is, but then he goes and tells how he did these things and why he did these things. He knows every small detail, and that's what allowed the big to happen. He knows these things. He is not far from each of us. He breathed life into all things. He gives life to all things. That means every little thing he knew about. So you can't overlook the minor things and the little things. I say minor, seemingly minor things, in order to get to the big things. As you look at Psalm 147, if you've got your Bibles, you can go and turn to Psalm 139. That'll be the one that you have to turn to today. But in Psalm 147, beginning in verse 1, he says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, which means he has to know that they are brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. But notice verse 4. He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. That doesn't mean he just understands the spiritual things or how nature works and all those things. He knows everything intimately about us. God knows and God cares. But then in Psalm 139, if you've got your Bibles there, look at verse 1 through 4 beginning. Psalm 139, verse 1. David again, he understood how God understands the big and the small and all these things. But he says there in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. There's not a single thing that God didn't know about David. He acknowledges that just as we should. But skip down to verse 11. He writes there, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. Notice verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I love this passage. This one about the stars and the one about that we just read about Him knowing us from our inward parts and weaving us before we were even born. Do we think that God just cared about us at that point, and then as soon as we're born, He doesn't care anymore? That'd be a foolish thing to think. But when things get rough and we start struggling with different things, that is a thought process. Sometimes gets into our minds. God doesn't care about the little things here. Well, He cared about them before we were even born on this earth. Before our days were even there, He knew what was going to happen with us. God knows the little things. But again, this points out all the big things, like I pointed out. It shows how big God is, but in His bigness, if that's a word, it also shows that He doesn't just overlook all the small things, but He encompasses the small things. He uses the small to create those big things. And so as we look at one last point here, knowing that God is all-knowing, that He is all-powerful, that He is in complete control. You know, sometimes that may be scary to some people to think, well, I don't know about that. That may be a little too much for me. Be scary about those things. But for Christians, we understand that should be a comforting thing. Knowing that God cares and knows about every single aspect of our life. When we feel alone, when we're feeling insignificant, when we become overwhelmed with worry, even though we shouldn't, it should comfort us knowing that God is there. He sees everything. He knows whatever we're going through. Not just the bad things, but the good things. He's there to comfort us in all of those things. This reminds me of what we read in Matthew chapter 10 as Jesus is talking here in verse 29. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows." He knows how many hairs are on your head. Some of you may have a longer time to do than I do. But He knows it. He knows every single aspect about all of us. Are we not more valuable than a sparrow? A little insignificant sparrow, dime a dozen, as we would say today. He cares about those. We read passages like Matthew 6, verse 28 through 30, and it talks about how the Father tends to the lily of the field. He sees their needs, and He clothes them, and all these different things He talks about in that passage there. How much more so is He going to do that for His own children? He sees our needs. He knows our needs, and He will take care of those things. However, there's another aspect of that, and that is if God sees all things that we do, He also sees the sinful things that we do. There's an accountability factor that goes along with this as well. If He sees our needs and sees our joyful moments, He's also going to see the sins that we may sometimes try to fool ourselves into thinking. He's not going to see this. It's just a small little thing. But God sees those things as well. So there is an accountability thing to that. And again, some people may see that as a scary thing. But for me, it's an accountability thing. It's a, you know what, I know that I'm going to be held accountable in judgment for everything that I do. God's going to see it. And so therefore, it helps me to stay on the straight and narrow, if you will. And so we got to see that as well. Everything that we do in this life is done in the presence of God. There's nothing that we can get away from in there. And we need to have that. We need to remain connected to the Lord. And I want to end the lesson by looking at this. In John chapter 15 and verse 4, as Jesus is preparing for His arrest and His crucifixion, at the Last Supper, this is what He says to His followers. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." It is imperative that we abide in the tree of God. At all times, the good times, the bad times, the struggling times, the victorious times, that we abide in Him. It's imperative that we do that. When a branch, as He alludes to here, when a branch is connected to the trunk, to the tree, it receives the sustenance that it needs. It's able to grow and to mature and produce fruit. And that's what we've got to see in ourselves. When we are connected to the trunk, that is God, we can grow and be sustained, and He'll take care of us in that way, and we can be fruitful for Him. But unfortunately, too many times there are those that say, you know, I don't need the trunk. I don't need the tree of God. And therefore they prune themselves off, not realizing what they're really doing to themselves. And we know, as he points out here, and as we'll read here at the end of the lesson, whenever we remove ourselves from that trunk, we lose the sustenance. We can't grow anymore. We can't mature anymore. We can't produce fruit anymore for the Lord. And so we will be held accountable for that. We will suffer for that. And at that point, we're no longer useful for anything but to burn, for kindling. And again, we can see the eternal implications of that as well. But if we are part of the Lord, if we abide in Him, then we've got to produce what the tree is causing us to produce. That means our actions, the big ones, the small ones, our words, our thoughts, our fruits, all are going to reflect the tree, which is our source. Our actions are going to represent Christ, and we're to be lights in the world. Again, when we abide in God, it's going to be obvious, not just to God who sees everything, but to everyone who sees us. They're going to be able to see that as well. They'll be able to see the fruits that we are bearing, whether it be the Lord's or not. You know, we have an advantage nowadays to be able to read the Bible and see all these Bible stories and be able to look and say, I can see God working through Ruth. I can see God working through Joseph. I can see God working through so many different people in order to accomplish His will. They couldn't see that all the time. And they struggle with that because we can read about their struggles and not being able to understand things. But we've got to see that in ourselves as well. We've got to understand God sees and uses these small moments of our lives. We've got to let Him do that as well, because He does care. There's nothing too large or too insignificant that God is not going to see or take care of. So let's take advantage of all the moments that God blesses us with. Going up your psalm books, number 326, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Obviously, the Lord's invitation is open to everyone who is subject to that at any time. But again, at this time, we have an opportunity. If there's something in your life that is amiss, as we discussed a while ago, if we aren't abiding in the Lord as part of the Lord's tree, the next verse there in John chapter 15, verse 6, this is what Jesus said, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Don't let that be you. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, if there's some duty that you owe to the Lord, take care of it. Don't put it off any longer. If you're subject this morning, please come as we stand and sing. Well,